This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us on the Refresh Radio program. Welcome back. We've been gone for a couple of days, and hope you had a great weekend worshiping the Lord. And we're going to get the week started off today in victory. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today in Psalm 43. So if you go back and listen to the broadcast last week involving Psalm 42 and now verse number or chapter 43, we started that one on Friday as well, you understand that we are supposed to praise him. And so in verse number 5 of chapter 42, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." That's repeated in verse number 11, except it says, "For the help of my countenance and my God." And that is what concludes verse number 5 of Psalm 43 as well. So don't just remember the days that you praised him. Make sure that you have a present and future plan to continue praising God for his help. So I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 43 today. It says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy?" So that's where we're going to pick up the teaching. But first of all, before I forget, I want to say thank you to the wonderful folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Dan and Treasure and Heaven and their team do a fantastic job. They are professional. They're a licensed and insured family business. They're based here in Brevard County. They travel all throughout the county, working hard to make your dream become reality. And they have a full array of products. They have premium artificial turf. They have putting greens. If you want a putting green that puts straight, they can make that happen. If you're like me and you haven't seen a straight putt in your entire life and you want a little curve on it, they did that at the church putting green. They also do paver installations. They install, manage drains and downspouts. They have landscape lighting, water features. They do repair. They design, plant, maintain. Their goal is to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. They also have a bunch of lawn products, trees, plants, things of that nature, up at Space Coast Nursery, which is north of the Barge Canal, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and the phone number up there is 321-452-5565. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program. They're a blessing to me, a blessing to the church, and a blessing to the community. And if you are considering upgrading your outdoor environment to making it something you can enjoy in the cooler weather, they would be a great resource for you to call. We bless them in the name of Jesus. So verse number 1 said, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation." Now, if we were in a court of men and the judge was also our defense attorney, that would raise some eyebrows, because it would be a conflict of interest. Men, there's a saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, that's true with men. It's not necessarily true with God. In fact, it's categorically untrue with God. God is got a personal invested interest in holiness, in love, in mercy, in grace, and justice. So a lot of people want to focus on the love aspect of God while eliminating the justice aspect of God. And so the truth of the matter is God is both compassionate and just. And not only will it, if you want to go back and listen to Friday's broadcast about vindicate me, O God, we touched on those four words. You understand that God judges, he governs, he vindicates, and he is in charge of dealing with those who have treated us badly, as well as thwarting the plans of those who planned. Maybe they didn't get to implement the plan because God short-circuited. But the latter part, or the second part of verse number one, says, God, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. This is a legal pursuit. It is a legal dispute, and we are availing ourselves of God as our attorney. So Jesus is our advocate. That means he's our attorney. So we have an attorney that has been a blessing to Merit Assembly of God and a number of churches throughout the years in Brevard County. Tom Waldron down in Melbourne. Great friend of the church. It comes from a minister's family. We really appreciate him and his ministry. Fortunately, we have not had to avail ourselves of attorneys, you know, for any negative reasons. We've had to for some positive reasons. One of the things that I've heard in the past is if you need an attorney, you know, there are different types. There are good attorneys, there are bad attorneys, there are competent attorneys, there are incompetent attorneys, there are attorneys that are nice people, and there are attorneys that maybe you wouldn't consider to be all that nice. And one of the things that I heard was, if you ever find yourself going into court, you don't just want a nice guy. You want an attorney who is like a pit bull. An attorney isn't really fighting for the defense or for the prosecution. They are really they're arguing for the proper influence of the law, that the law would be appropriately applied. And the only way that happens in a spiritual sense, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the only way for the love of God and the justice of God to be appropriately upheld is by availing ourselves of the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a saying when it comes to attorney or clients representing themselves, that the client who represents himself has a fool for a client. And so you don't want to presume that you understand the culture of heaven's courtroom. Jesus does. So several years ago, I spoke up on a situation. It had to do with ministerial hearings, and I shared that, you know, one of my goals in life is to never be in a ministerial conduct hearing for bad conduct. That's one of my life goals. I don't want to be on the news for any of the wrong reasons. If I'm on the news, I want it to be for the right reason. But I said, if I ever find myself in a courtroom, I need someone who understands the way those hearings operate. And so that was what was being discussed, was whether a minister, you know, who finds themselves in a hearing, whether they could have representation. And I said, look, when I stand before the Father, Jesus is going to be standing there as my attorney. He understands the culture of heaven. He understands the holiness of heaven, the love of God, the justice of God, and he's going to represent me better than I could represent myself. And I said, I feel like we would need to avail ourselves of that same privilege if we found ourselves in a conduct hearing down here. And they ended up seeing things that way as well. I don't want to stand in my presumption. I want to stand with Jesus, knowing what to say, where I just follow his instructions. If he tells me, I've got this, you don't need to say anything, then I don't want to say anything. If he says you need to speak up, then that's what I speak, what I do. I speak up. There was a situation. It wasn't a legal situation. It was a spiritual situation. In my dream, there was this person that I'm in charge of watching over their soul at that season. And rather than confronting them, in this dream, God spoke to me and said, I want you to walk with them, but I don't want you to say anything. I will take care of everything. And that's contrary to my nature, but because that was what he said, that's what I did. And at some point in time in the dream, the person said, you know, I think I'm ready to get out of this pit. Would you walk with me out of this pit? And that's what I did. That's what happened in real life. And I celebrate. But, you know, if Jesus says don't say anything and then we say anything, we're disobedient and we will get different results than we would if we had been obedient. So here, the sons of Korah ask God, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. An ungodly nation, the word ungodly means just that. They live as if there is no God. Whether or not they say it with their mouth that there is no God, their lifestyle declares over and over again, day after day, week after week, year after year, they live as if there is no God and there is no accountability. Ungodly people, for some reason, feel highly motivated to attack godly people. And the psalmists here, the sons of Korah, they say, God, we need you to plead our cause against an ungodly nation. That word nation means people group or community. So you could have an ungodly group of people at your workplace, or you could have an ungodly group of people in government, or you could have an ungodly people group that is just from a different community than you are, and they want to attack the people of God. And so the psalmist asked God, would you plead my cause? And the answer is yes. It goes on and it says, oh, deliver me from the deceitful an unjust man. Now, I'm going to share a biblical truth with you here today. It may be something that many people haven't thought of. It is something that happens a great deal in society, and so I'm going to share that with you. And I hope you don't get mad at me for sharing you the truth. But we need to be people of integrity and people of uprightness. So deliver means to save or set free. And so it means to deliver, to save, or to set free. So those are good things. So what is the deliverance from? The psalmist said, God, would you deliver me from a type of man, a type of person, and the first descriptive word that is used is that this person is deceitful. Deceitful. If you look up that word in the lexicon, it means that it is a person who operates from a mindset of trying to trick people, or their behavior is fraudulent, or it is deceitful. Where I first encountered this definition of what deceit was studying Jacob's encounter with Laban. Laban was his father-in-law, and he noticed that Laban's attitude was changing, and so he gathers up his family and he starts heading off, and he doesn't tell Laban. So Laban thinks that Jacob is still on the job. Laban thinks that Jacob is still watching his sheep. Laban thinks that he can still go visit his daughters and his grandchildren. And he becomes aware of the fact that Jacob no longer lives there, no longer works there, and he has uprooted the family, and he's moved off, and he didn't tell anyone. In the New International Version, and it says this on two different occasions, Laban says, "Why have you deceived me?" Now, it's always funny because Jacob experienced this, and Jacob was a deceiver, a slanderer. Then he goes to Laban and comes to find out that Laban is a better slanderer and deceiver than Jacob is. And so Jacob wakes up after he thinks he's married Rachel, and he finds that he's married Leah. And he said, "Why did you deceive me like this? I worked for 7 years for the privilege of marrying Rachel. Why did you deceive me?" And it's always interesting when people who deceive others get deceived, because then they feel the betrayal of it. So Laban now, he catches up to Jacob and his family. And you could go back into Genesis 29 and 30 and you could read about this. And he said, "Why did you deceive me? You didn't even allow me to kiss my children or my grandchildren goodbye." And what you see in that definition of deceiving is that it is not just the words that come out of our mouth, but it's when we do things and we do not inform the people that we're supposed to inform that we are doing what we're doing. And so people just abandon positions. They abandon relationships. There was an evangelist who's gone on to have a powerful ministry, but when he was a child, his mother took him to a street corner and said, "Don't move from here until I get back." Well, she abandoned him and never came back from him. And an Assembly of God pastor noticed that this boy had been abandoned, and he was doing exactly what his mother had said. But the pastor realized that she had deceived her son, and she had just gone off and abandoned him. Change happens. The only thing that doesn't change, the only person that doesn't change, is God. Everything else changes, and people don't like change unless it's change they initiate. But whatever changes happen in our life, we are supposed to conduct ourselves with truth and integrity so that we notify, we communicate. So if you are going to leave a job and take another job, you communicate with your employer, "Hey, I'm going to be resigning. Here's my notice. It can be effective in 2 weeks. It can be effective in a month. It can be effective today, but my job is to communicate with you that I'm going to be taking this other job. Well, in this day and time, people, there's a term for it. It's called ghosting. It happens on jobs. It happens with relationships. It happens in churches where people just say, nope, I'm leaving and I'm not even going to bother telling them. And what I want to communicate with you is that is not operating in integrity. And the measure that you use will be the measure that is poured back upon you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Just as Jacob had deceived others, he didn't like it when he was deceived. When Laban deceived Jacob, he thought that was okay, but he found it almost worthy of military attack when Jacob deceived him by leaving and not telling him. So the psalmist here say, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. So we need God to deliver us. Now, I tell people I don't lie to other people because I feel like I've got this great big neon sign that flashes over my head. Lying, 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 lying only works if the other person doesn't know that they're being lied to. When you are not, by the way, if you're going to be bad at something, be bad at lying. Be really, really good at telling the truth. Be a person who lives the truth, who conducts their relationships in truth and integrity. And so I just want to encourage you that if you're on a job or you're in a relationship or there are people who think that they're still in relationship with you, but you've abandoned ship, be a person of integrity, of truth, and communicate with them as to what's going on. If not, then you need to pray this prayer: God, deliver me from the enemy, because I don't want there to be any deceitful way in me. The second descriptive word that is used here is that this person is unjust. And so the psalmist are saying, deliver me from any unjust people and any deceitful people. And that means that they are dishonest or they are unjust or they're just bad. Bad company corrupts good character. People who do not have a moral foundation upon the word of God and a relationship with God, they are built up on a foundation of shifting sand. And so you want to be delivered from people who are headed in the wrong direction. And one of the other definitions of this word is perverse, where they're not dealing in a forthright manner. It's not straight the way, they're not shooting straight the way that they should. A person who is just operates from different motivations in different environments. And the psalmist here realize that they need to be delivered from people who are operating in that manner. So I pray today that you would let God vindicate you, let him judge, govern, vindicate, and deal with the people who have done you harm or plotted to do your harm. And then you want God to be your attorney against an ungodly nation. You want him to be your deliverer from people who are operate in a deceitful manner and people who are unjust. And here is the reason why. For you are the God of my strength. You are the God of my strength. God here is described similar to Psalm 42 and verse number 9, where he says, I will say to God, you are my rock. This word strength refers to a mountain stronghold or a refuge or a safe place. And I pray that the omnipotence of God would operate in your life and in my life to more than compensate for any weaknesses that we may have in our own life. You know, I still go to the gym when I can. They have similar machines to the machines I've always used. But since I first started going, there has been some things that have been added to my life. They're called birthday candles. And so I go and I operate, and I still have pretty good muscle tone. Never really been strong, but the appearance of the muscles was there. But I find that with the extra birthday candles, the amount of weight that I can mobilize on those weight machines is not the same as I could before. My human strength is diminishing. Now, with my son-in-law moving to the area and joining our staff, and he's been a trained fitness instructor as part of his past, and he's going to help me to, you know, be more diligent about getting to the gym and whipping some of my table muscle back into regular muscle. I believe that there's going to be some increased strength benefit that comes, and flexibility and things like that, because there's somebody there to walk me through that process. But strength is not just muscular strength. Strength is not just intellectual strength. It's not just financial strength, but there needs to be spiritual strength as well. I believe it is time for the people of God to stop being the victims and people who operate victoriously in the strength of the Omnipotent One. We need to be people of the Word. We need to be people of prayer. We need to be people of praise. We need to be people of truth. We need to be people of action. We need to be people who are reaching as many people as we possibly can. The more we utilize the strength that God has entrusted to us, the more that we are going to see His strength in operation. If you find yourself in situations where there are too many ungodly people, if you are dealing with people who operate deceitfully or in an unjust manner, you need to ask God to represent you well, because He wants to be the God of your strength. And I will tell you, God's strength never has any negative side effects. I pray today that you will function in the strength of the Almighty God. You have a blessed day. We'll see you here tomorrow on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."